You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this February 10th, 2026. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is the Christian Griffin, and we appreciate you being with us on what has been a overcast day here in the Auburn Opelika area. But my goodness, do we have so much to get to on today's show. It is a loaded program with several big-time topics to get to. College basketball, college baseball, you name it. We got it for you here in the next 2 hours on ESPN 106.7. Christian, how are you, sir? Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. It was a happy Monday. It's a happier Tuesday here for the Lee Scott Academy family. Yeah. My goodness, what a performance inside of Sanford Gymnasium last night. We'll be able to talk a little bit more about that to round up our number one. But for the second time in as many years, in only their second year in the AHSAA, the varsity girls and the varsity boys are area champions and didn't necessarily look pretty last night on the offensive end of the floor, but defense looked really pretty. And you might call it cliche, but hey, I guess offense wins games, defense wins championships. Perfect explanation of that you saw inside Sanford Gymnasium last night. We're talking bracketology to get the show started here today. There's the Andy Katz projections. There is the Joe Lunardi bracketology projections. We're going to dive through both of those, the comparisons, the contrasts of those with Auburn, with the teams that they are scheduled to play or would be scheduled to play, also in the Southeastern Conference, before we dive into the Charles Bediako situation. Yeah. Because I'm sure everybody has heard about it by now, and everybody is sick and tired of hearing about it by now. We hope that everything is coming to an end or has come to an end based off of how the world works. I'm sure there will be tries for challenges, but we'll take that as we go. And because of that, we have Mike Rodak of Bama 24/7 joining us at 2:30 to dive into the drama, to dive into the saga, and what is next for the Alabama Crimson Tide. What does it look like based off of some quotes from the NCAA Rules Committee on March Madness seedings of what everything is going to look like? A whole lot of drama. He'll know a little bit more about it, a lot more about it than we will, so we're excited to have him join us at 2:30 on the phone lines. And then at 3 o'clock, you teased it on the way out once I was already out of the building. Auburn baseball gets started this weekend. And what better man to join the program? What better man to be able to kick off our weekly conversations with Auburn baseball than head coach of the Auburn Tigers, Coach Butch Thompson, will be joining us right at 3 o'clock to start hour number two.
Yep, so a loaded show today. Two great guests. We'll continue our baseball conversation into the second hour and then talk about some of the big games coming up tonight, including Auburn and Vanderbilt this evening inside of Neville Arena. And so a loaded show, jam-packed with a couple of guests, but around there and in between our guests and just anytime in between, really, phone lines are open on this Tuesday afternoon. So give us a call. How do you feel? What's on your mind on this Tuesday? You can give us a call, 334-321-1390. Again, 334-321-1390. Our boy Brandon's over there ready to take your call. We'll put you on the air and have a good conversation. Text box is also open as well at 334-784-1067. And you talked about it. Bracketology out once again today. Several different outlets and sites do one, ESPN, CBS, all those different places, right? But for the most part, it seems like Auburn isn't getting a whole lot of love. It seems like Auburn is just kind of there. Just seems like Auburn's just kind of out there. Nobody's really talking about them. Nobody's really hating on them. Again, it's just like, yeah, I guess we'll ride them in there.
Yeah.
I guess we'll find a spot. We had an open spot here, so I guess we'll put Auburn there.
Yeah, you're not forced to write them there.
Right.
It's more so just, yeah, sure.
And I think it's understandable.
Very much so.
Because most people would say, when we tell you that Andy Katz has Auburn as an 8 seed, Joe Lunardi has Auburn as an 8 seed, you hear that initially and you're like, that seems really low. Auburn has an 8 seed? I don't know. Come on now. They're just haters. But then you look at Auburn's resume, especially in comparison to what others are doing around them, and an 8 seed might be generous.
That's what I was going to say. It almost feels like it's a little favorable. And to think how much that St. John's win is kind of putting over all of Auburn's resume, and imagine what that win would have done against Houston. I mean, those two wins, if they were both on the schedule, would be crazy to see what it would look like if Auburn would jump even higher, or if Auburn had lost to St. John's, what it would look like. But again, that's really the between that and Florida, your biggest wins of the season so far. You mentioned it for Andy Katz, who he more so releases on the March Madness social media pages, where it has the four pages you scroll through. It shows all of the teams. You mentioned it. He has Auburn as an 8 seed in the South bracket, listed in Houston, but Auburn's quadrant would be in Philadelphia, which is a little bit better than Buffalo, where I saw some of those games being played. And Auburn would play Southern Methodist. Auburn would play SMU in the first round, which doesn't seem too bad. But, again, that 8-9 matchup matches with the 1-16 matchup.
Yeah.
And Auburn would be set to play UConn and Coach Dan Hurley. That one doesn't sound great, but I'll say it. Sounds a whole lot better than what Joe Lunardi has Auburn scheduled to play right now. Again, an 8 seed, according to ESPN's Bracketology, playing UCF, which hurts.
Yeah.
And then, again, the 8-9 matched up with the 1-16. It would be a rematch. Auburn and Michigan to play in the round of 32.
No thanks. No thanks, Joe. I'm good.
No thanks, not even in the round of 32. No thanks in the round of 64. I do not want to play Central Florida.
Yeah.
Team is huge, and although they are set to be a 9 seed, they haven't gotten some of those big-time wins, but my goodness, they've been in so many really, really close games where if they had just enough talent or one more player or a couple more buckets, they have a couple really big upsets this season.
Just a little bit more talent, you would have had it.
Yeah.
We say that all the time.
They're
especially
close.
Especially to me on the golf course. It's like, man, I know you hit that about 50 yards to the opposite fairway on the right, but a little bit more talent and you would have had it.
Man, on the green, it's the right club.
Is it? I don't know.
The new one is. The new one's the right club. The new putter.
Oh, yeah. New putter's awesome. Got to get the driver worked out a little bit. New putter's sweet, though.
It is.
But I agree with you on UCF that they are a talented team, and they're playing in maybe the best conference in college basketball top to bottom. I think the Big 12 has that argument right now. I still think the Big 10 is the best at the top. I think the teams at the top of the Big Ten are still the best. I think the Big 12 is probably the best through and through to compete for a national championship. Funny enough, the SEC is still getting a lot of love in bracketology. Joe Lunardi has 10 teams making it from the SEC and 10 teams making it from the Big Ten, which was kind of wild to me.
Yeah.
Because I just don't think the middle of the pack teams in those conferences are all that great. And I say that even though Auburn is in that category.
You look at what both of these, they actually, I was looking at this wrong with the multi-bids. I had it right the first time. Both brackets have 10 SEC teams making it into the tournament. The only difference is, you mentioned the middle of the pack. For the SEC, Florida is the highest ranked SEC team as a 3 seed. the amount of 7, 8, 9, and 10 seeds for the Southeastern Conference goes to show you the logjam that is in the middle of all of these SEC standings right now.
Got a couple of texts in our text box. Again, you can reach us there, 334-784-1067. It's open all show long. You can get your thoughts out there, or you can give us a call right now at 334-321-1390. First text says that you guys jinxed NC State because they got waxed yesterday. I don't remember what we said about NC State. Maybe because Auburn got a decent win over them. But did you see what happened to NC State last night?
I did not.
Brother, they had to make a trip to Louisville, Kentucky.
Ooh.
And they wish that they did not. Louisville beat NC State last night in ACC play. This score is real. 118-77. 118 points Louisville dropped on NC State last night. Would you like to know how they got to a 45-point, or dang it, to an 118-point total? I gave it up. Mykael Brown Jr., who is an incredible point guard, has not had the most consistent season, and Louisville hasn't either. He had 45 last night.
Jeez.
45, 9 rebounds, 3 steals for Mykael Brown Jr., the 5-star point guard for Louisville. Yeah, NC State, still a solid basketball team, 18-7 overall, 9-3 in ACC play, but that's coming off of a 6-game win streak for NC State, and they walked in to a blender last night.
What did our boy, Mr. Darion Williams, what did he put up last night?
Darion, what did he do last night? Hold on. I was pulling up his regular season stats. We are really big fans of Darion Williams for no particular reason whatsoever. He is an NBL for me. If you understand what I'm talking about, good for you. He had himself a night. 8 points, 3 of 13 from the floor, 5 boards, 2 assists.
There we go.
Yep.
That's
about right.
Nothing like Darion Williams catching a stray here at 212 on Auburn Opelika Sports Radio here on middle of the week.
So apparently we jinxed NC State by saying they were playing good basketball and they were on a hot streak.
That must have been when you were looking at games.
Maybe.
Once I was gone.
Maybe so. I don't remember.
I would have made a comment about it.
Yeah, probably. Eric in Auburn also sends us a text talking about Auburn, right? Again, as an 8 seed, and I described it as Auburn's just kind of there. He says, kind of describes our team. Just kind of there. He says, question for you guys. If Auburn ends up on the bubble, does the committee consider that Bama played an ineligible player for one of the losses? And it's funny you bring that up, because we're talking about that on our next segment, Eric, and we'll kind of hint at it a little bit, right, with the Bediako ruling where he is now ineligible. He was denied. He's done. He is not playing college basketball anymore.
But he's getting his degree. Don't worry.
Yeah, I'm sure. To where Alabama can no longer play him. And the NCAA tournament committee says they're not going to acknowledge or consider the games that Bediako played in for Alabama's tournament resume, win or loss. Particularly wins, where he scored enough points to help Alabama win some big ones, including the Auburn game. So we'll talk about that coming up in the next segment. So put a pin in that. We're coming back to it in just a moment, I promise.
Going back to bracketology.
Again, and Auburn in particular.
With Joe Lunardi having Auburn as an 8 seed and Central Florida as the 9 seed. What a moment that would be for Keyshawn Hall, just to have that sort
of even thought about that.
Rematch. But yeah. Central Florida is 17-6 overall. They are 6th in the Big 12 conference. They are 4 games back of Arizona, who fell last night. But they have a 12-point loss to Vanderbilt, 105-93. They beat Texas A&M, 86-74. They have a win over Kansas, 81-75. They have wins over Cincinnati, Kansas State, a 7-point loss at home to Arizona. They did get blown out at Iowa State. But then they have a win over Arizona State. They have a win over 11th-ranked Texas Tech. So this is a team that has some pretty good wins due to the Central Florida Knights. And again. If that is your 8-9 matchup, please, Auburn, you need to win a couple games to either jump up or lose a couple games to drop down.
Well, and you look at the NCAA tournament as a whole, right? The difference in being an 8 seed, a 9 seed, 7 seed, or a 6 seed, right? The 8-9 has to play each other. We know how close those two teams are. That's you're basically talking a coin flip with how close those seed lines are and how close those teams typically are. Then it's matching up with the 1 seed in the second round, which isn't impossible, but this year we've talked so much, Christian, about how good the 1 seeds are right now. Auburn doesn't want that.
No,
right now Auburn can't handle that right now.
Right now it is Arizona, Michigan, UConn, and Duke.
Yeah, no thank you. Can Auburn compete with one of those teams if they're playing their best? Absolutely. But right now, the answer to that question is no. But look at being a 7 seed. Right, the difference in moving up to a 7 seed, it's not great, but it's a heck of a lot better. You start off with a 10 seed, a team that is probably considered a bubble team, right? USC, for example, they're a bubble team.
Yeah,
they're a 10 seed, right, playing the 7th seed Utah State. You're then matched up with the 2 seed, which is still a big deal. But you're telling me that in the second round, if you win, my options are Nebraska, Iowa State, Houston, and Illinois. Those last two are very good. I'll take those four versus the other four, though, on any given day. And let me say this. This is a no-brainer because it's like, yeah, you move up the seed, you get a better draw. But that's my point.
Auburn has more talent, right?
Auburn has a chance to move up the seed lines and give yourself an easier path, giving yourself a better chance to get to the second weekend, which I think most Auburn fans would say at this point in the season, a Sweet 16 appearance would be pretty damn good.
Yes.
You look at what a 6 seed gets you, you match up with the 11 seeds, which as of right now, which obviously this is going to change, that's Miami of Ohio. Yes, Miami of Ohio. The U of Miami or New Mexico.
Yeah, a play-in game.
Texas or San Diego State, another play-in game, or Santa Clara. That's the difference between a 9 seed, 8 seed, 7 seed, and that upper echelon of a 6 seed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Auburn, looking at their schedule as we had to break, starting tonight against Vanderbilt, you have a chance to stack some wins. Vanderbilt's a top 25 team. Arkansas's a top 25 team. Kentucky is a top 25 team, and I would be willing to bet by the time Auburn heads to Tuscaloosa on Saturday, March 7th, Alabama will once again be a top 25 team.
Alabama will be a top 20, if not a top 15 team, if they do what they're supposed to do on paper.
That means you can build your resume and climb the rankings in bracketology. But you can also go down, and Auburn, as Eric was asking, if they're on the bubble, what games count against them? What games don't? What about that Iron Bowl of basketball last Saturday where Charles Bediako played but now is no longer eligible? We talk about the ruling and where they go from here. Right after this, we're just off and running here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. We appreciate you being with us on this Tuesday. And reminder, coming up at 2:30, our man Mike Rodak of Bama 247 is going to be joining us to give a full breakdown and analysis of the entire Charles Bediako situation. Because in case you missed it, which I don't think many Auburn fans did, the case has been solved. This has been finalized, and Charles Bediako, after playing 5 games for the Alabama Crimson Tide, has been deemed ineligible. He is ruled to not play, and he cannot be a member of the Alabama basketball team anymore.
Yeah, played 5 games for the Crimson Tide, and you mentioned it before going to break that the NCAA Rules Committee and the voting committee and whoever else it is for March Madness states that they will judge Alabama based off the games where eligible players play in the game. And so they basically won't look at the three losses or the three wins and the two losses, at least on paper. That's how it looks. But the circuit court judge cited that Bediako, quote, failed to demonstrate that he is entitled to the injunctive relief that he seeks. And that's according to a bunch of the court documents. And again, this all started after he was placed under a temporary restraining order that allowed him to join Alabama in the middle of the season. And there's some quotes coming from the NCAA president that have some pretty big words that, Jacob, I know that we have both vocalized many times of, well, there is no line in the sands because the NCAA doesn't have any power. Quotes like this at least explain to me that the NCAA is trying to remind people that they are still here, that they still do have a little bit of power.
Which is good. They needed, dude, we talk about teams all the time that need a win, desperate for a win. Oh my God, the NCAA is like zero wins and 180 losses, bro. They're
in like quad three.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a quad four game on your home floor on a December Wednesday night. Like, you're desperate. You need a win, man. It's like a baseball team that's traveled for a month and hasn't won a game in July, like the Marlins. Like, you're desperate for a win. That's where the NCAA was, man. They have had their head just pinned into the mat and just get punched after punch after punch. They needed this win, and they finally got it.
They did. NCAA President Charlie Baker said in a statement that he was glad the court, quote, upheld the rules of our members. He continued on by saying, quote, common sense won a round today. The court saw this for what it is, an attempt by professionals to pivot back to college and crowd out the next generation of students. College sports are for students, not for people who already walked away to go pro, and get this, and now want to hit the undo button at the expense of a teenager's dream. While we're glad the court upheld the rules of our members of what they actually want, one win doesn't fix the national mess of state laws. It's time for Congress to stop watching from the sidelines and help us provide a little bit of actual stability.
Yeah, some powerful stuff there from Charlie Baker, again, the president of the NCAA, to where several key things that I want to highlight there. One, calling for Congress to step in, which the NCAA has been a fan of for quite some time, because that is them, again, admitting we can't handle this ourselves. We can't control it. And this is one of the few times that I'm not actually bashing the NCAA. That's just a known fact. That's what that means from their president, is saying, hey, Congress, we need legal help. We can't control this.
And they tried to get that last summer and started working towards it.
Yeah.
But then it was the, oh, shoot, okay, well, if we do this, everybody's going to come after our you-know-whats with legal allegations and suings and everything like that. So they backed away from it.
Another thing that I want to highlight in those quotes is saying that common sense won today, which is true. It's refreshing. It is giving hope, to me at least, that things can change for the better. I also like that he highlighted and admitted a single victory does not solve it all.
Yeah.
Right? Same way tonight. Auburn beating Vanderbilt tonight doesn't solve everything, right? It's nice, step in the right direction, and one you'd love to have, but it doesn't just solve everything and everything's okay. Same way with this Charles Bediako situation, to where, do I hate it for a guy who was trying to play basketball and come back and be a part of a special team? Yeah, I do. But I also like the part that Charlie Baker said that we are going to do what's best, and I'm paraphrasing here, we're going to do what's best for our member schools, their athletes, and teenagers who want to be college athletes.
Yeah, college sports are for students, not for people who already walked away to go pro and now want to hit the undo button at the expense of a teenager's dream.
Which that right there is the key difference from the NCAA and the judge on the difference between a player like Charles Bediako and a player like Filip Jovic. That's the difference. in his own words, from the NCAA, from the judge, from this entire situation, a player that already walked this path and then stepped away, and as we've talked about, waived their right to return to college athletics because they wanted to go pro. You're gambling. You're risking it. You are betting on yourself. And it didn't work out. I'm sorry. That sucks. But that's the difference. And that's the key line from this whole thing that we need to highlight here. Is that players like Filip Jovic didn't play college basketball. I'm still not a great fan of it, I'll be honest, of pros playing college basketball. But at least the line has been drawn. There's at least a standard. You're going to have to set several more. And then the harder part, believe it or not, is upholding those standards too.
Alabama responded by saying, "We are disappointed in today's court ruling denying the injunction for Charles Bediako. While we understand the concern around competitive and developmental implications of former professional athletes participating in college, it is important to acknowledge the reality. The NCAA has granted eligibility to over 100 current men's basketball players with prior professional experience in the G League and overseas. Granting eligibility to some former professionals and not to others is what creates havoc that we are currently in and why consistency from decision makers is so desperately needed."
There's a lot to unpack there. That's some of our thoughts, but we bring in a guy who has covered this from the very beginning. Mike Rodak of Bama 247. He joins us live to give us his thoughts and insights coming up next.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us here on this Tuesday afternoon and what has been a very busy Tuesday afternoon here in Auburn, yes, but even busier in Tuscaloosa with one of the craziest, most covered stories we've seen in quite some time with Alabama basketball and Charles Bediako, where the situation has been finalized. Bediako has been deemed ineligible. He will no longer play for the Alabama Crimson Tide. And we figured there's nobody better to bring on our show and talk about this than a guy who's joined us several times on the radio. He has covered this situation from the very beginning. Mike Rodak of Bama 247 is on the phone lines live with us right now. My man, it's great to hear from you. And I guess now you can sleep or take a nap or rest since this situation's over.
Yeah, it was kind of 4 days of waiting for a ruling, and you know, you kind of got through the weekend. You're like, all right, hopefully it's Monday and it can finally stop hitting refresh on the page. And sure enough, it came around, you know, 5 o'clock last night. So obviously that allowed him to play against Auburn under the original restraining order, but that was set to expire today. So he wouldn't have been able to play any other games absent an injunction. And in this case, an injunction wasn't granted. Therefore, you know, the restraining order's over, and with no injunction, he can't play at this point.
Yeah, well, there's so many updates and timeline things that we need to kind of lay out here in order to get a true understanding of today's ruling. And so, in your own words and the best that you can, what the last 4 or 5 days have been since the situation began, right, with Bediako coming back, had the restraining order, played several games, the meetings got pushed back, of course, through the weekend into Monday. I mean, can you kind of lay all of that out and how this has, I guess, gone along the last several days of this entire Bediako situation?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it goes back to kind of late December, early January, which is when kind of Bediako and Nate Oates had the discussions that they wanted to bring him back. And, you know, who had the idea first, you know, they haven't necessarily said, but they said it was mutual. And so they applied to the NCAA for eligibility. The NCAA said no. And then within several days of that is when they filed their lawsuit against the NCAA. And then immediately the next morning is when the original judge in this case, Jim Roberts, gave the restraining order. So at that point, he was able to play. And that's typical, you know, in cases like this, is like they'll give the restraining order before anything's really argued in court. It's kind of the first step. So that allowed him to play. And there was supposed to be a hearing on the injunction. It just so happened that there was an ice storm, you know, up in Tennessee, which is where the instability attorney lives. So he couldn't get to the hearing. It had to get pushed back. That allowed him to play, I think, two other games, which included the Auburn game this past weekend. And, you know, they had the hearing this past Friday. And like I said, the judge kind of waited until basically the end of the restraining order to issue his ruling yesterday, but denied the injunction request. So the injunction kind of required a higher level of burden, a higher level of proof there. And, you know, the NCAA had the opportunity to argue in court against it. And so the judge basically sided with their arguments. He said that Bediako's case is unique in that he was in college. He decided on his own to come out of college. He knew the ramifications of that, and now he's trying to come back. And even though he is arguing in court that he feels like it's unfair that other players are able to play who might have played professionally, that his case is still unique. Mm-hmm. And so that was something that he couldn't really overcome in terms of the legal proceedings so far. And that's a big reason why the judge denied the injunction. It's just simply because his case is different than the other cases that he's arguing are similar.
Did this come as a surprise for Alabama, for Bediako, for Nate Oates, the team, or just the entire Alabama fan base? Did this come as a little bit of a surprise, or with the date continuing to be pushed back and the more details that were released, did they feel as if this answer was coming?
So Nate Oates basically said that he felt like it shouldn't have been hard to get the injunction. I forget the exact wording that he used last night, but essentially he felt like they should have been approved for the waiver to begin with from the NCAA. But once that happened, they feel like there was enough other cases in his mind that were similar that he didn't think it would be a problem to get this injunction. And obviously in this case, he did not happen to be correct on that one. You know, I think for Alabama, I'm sure, you know, they had an attorney in the courtroom on Friday. I'm sure that attorney went back and talk to people, and I think you could kind of get a sense from being in the courtroom that there was a very decent chance that that would be denied.
Sure.
So I'm sure at that point, you know, they were aware of kind of where things stood and how much of a surprise yesterday's ruling was to Alabama in general. Yeah, I don't think it was a huge shock, but, you know, it's, like I said, it's a unique case. So it's hard to put it in the exact same bucket as some other guys who have gotten injunctions.
Right.
But you know, it might have depended on the judge. It might have depended on the lawyers and what arguments they're making. You know, there's obviously variables involved, but in this case, you know, he said no.
We have Mike Rodak of Bama 24/7 here with us on the phone lines, and we appreciate your time. Again, I know it's a very busy time for you, even if this was not going on. And so we appreciate you for taking the time to spend a little time talking to us, informing everybody even more of the details. And I know that very similar to us, you kind of work as that middleman to where you understand and you see all of the things that Nate Oates and the team says. That being said, you also see a lot of the fan reactions and the fan communications. Are Alabama fans at the point of just, regardless of what the result was, are they tired of this kind of being that gray cloud over their entire program? Are they ready for this situation to just kind of go to bed?
Yeah, I think it depends, probably fan to fan. I think there's some fans that were kind of turned off by the whole idea to begin with.
Sure.
And kind of the purist, if you will, and they didn't even like the fact that Alabama was part of it. I think there's certainly a lot of fans that kind of in a vacuum, if this happened at Auburn, if this happened at Tennessee, I'm sure they would be against it. But in this particular case, they were for it because it was something that Nate Oates wanted, and it was something they felt like there was an inconsistency about. So, you know, there's different groups. I think, you know, there's probably people that are like, yeah, let's just play basketball. And, you know, there's obviously a risk for, you know, for Nate Oates, there's a lot of energy I think he's kind of expended, you know, these past couple weeks on something that's not, you know, directly on the court. I guess it is involving whether a player is on the court or not. But just there's a lot of time he spent kind of arguing about, you know, international players and kind of defending the case and not just talking about X's and O's and kind of the normal run-of-the-mill stuff. So, you know, there's probably now that it's over, maybe a benefit to him just getting back to focusing on basketball games. But, you know, they've also lost a key piece of the team, because I don't think he was as big of a deal in terms of the on-court as people might have made out. But he was, you know, still one of their 5, 6, 7 best players. And, you know, not having him is, you know, going to pull another guy up. And they now need to play a different player some more minutes. And that's going to be an issue potentially.
Yeah, it just seemed like the 5 games across this stretch when Bediako came back, I mean, from the outside looking in, of course, from the Auburn perspective too, felt like those 5 games just took months to complete, with all the arguments, like you mentioned, and the press conferences and the statements and everything like that. And so the obvious next question here, Mike, is, where does Bama go from here? You mentioned it. It's not like they can call up another player to replace him, and not like they have somebody waiting in the wing to take over there. They brought a player back for 5 games. Now he's not eligible. Now they go back to what they were before Charles Bediako. So what's next for this Alabama team as they prepare for a road trip to Oxford tomorrow, a home game against South Carolina, and some tough games down the stretch?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely obviously brings them back to where they were before Bediako, which was a little bit deficient in the front court. You know, they have Aiden Sherrill, who they really like at center, and this was more about, when they signed Bediako back, was about upgrading their backup center spot, because they really whiffed on the transfer portal on Noah Williamson, who is the 7-footer that they got from Bucknell, and it's just been really ineffective for him this year. In fact, he didn't even play these past 2 games with Bediako back, so... you know, he's going to be a player that they're going to need going forward, and they're going to need something out of him, rebounding, shooting, all of the above. And, you know, because Aiden Sherrill can't be on the court all the time. And, you know, they're probably going to have to go a little bit smaller as well, which is what they were doing, you know, for the first 2-3 months of the season, and kind of playing, you know, some of those 6'6", 6'7" guards that they have, kind of playing them at the 4. And, you know, that's, it worked in some games. It didn't work in other games. And obviously they're not a better team without Charles Bediako. But like I said, it's not, I don't think they're losing one of their top 4 players. I think there's certainly some capable players on this team. And it's just a matter of how they can kind of deal with the, you know, the deficiencies in the front court, you know, through the rest of the season. And their SEC schedule the rest of the way is fairly light. They have 1 ranked team left, Arkansas. Compare that to last year. I went back and looked. Alabama's final 8 SEC games last year, they had 7 ranked opponents.
Wow.
They had 4 teams in the top 5, and that included Auburn twice. So it's a lot lighter in terms of the kind of the quality of team that they're playing the rest of the way, but they're also 6-4 in the SEC, and they can't really afford to lose too many more games. So and still have a good seed, you know, in both the SEC and NCAA tournaments.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you brought up the schedule, Mike. We're going to let you go in just a minute. Again, very appreciative of your time today, because Joe Lunardi says today in his latest bracketology that Alabama is a 5 seed. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know technically where it ranks, but this has to be one of the more favorable ends of the season for Alabama. Again, at Ole Miss, home for South Carolina. You mentioned the home game against Arkansas, the lone ranked team remaining, at LSU, home for Mississippi State, at Tennessee, at Georgia, home for Auburn. Those last 3, I think, are crucial for Alabama. But is a 5 seed about right? Is this team pretty much where they need to be? Is that where you think they'll end up on Selection Sunday? Or is there some room to grow or maybe even fall for this Alabama team as we wrap up our conversation with you?
Yeah, I think there's some room to grow. I mean, it's obviously going to hurt them that they don't have kind of those real high-quality teams on their schedule left to get those wins and to move up. You know, they might have that in the SEC tournament, but, you know, I think it's going to be key not to trip up on any of these games. Like, they've already done that once against Texas, that I think a team they should have beaten at home. You know, Nate Oates is already warning guys, like, this Ole Miss team is talented. Like, you can't kind of let this game get away from you tomorrow night. So as long as they take care of business that way, that kind of puts them in a spot where they're not having to play on Wednesday at the SEC tournament. And if they win enough games here, they might get a double bye and finish in the top 4 of the SEC. So then at that point, you're setting yourselves up for a run in Nashville. And if you're able to do that, then you're obviously able to climb, you know, in terms of the NCAA seedings. But conversely, if you lose a couple games here that you shouldn't, and you make a quick exit in Nashville, then you know, I don't think it's out of the question this team could fall down to a 6, 7, 8 seed. So there's a lot of range left, you know, based on these final 4 weeks.
Well, I don't think anybody covered the Charles Bediako situation better than our man Mike Rodak of Bama247. You were on top of it every minute of every day, as you are with all things Alabama athletics. But this situation in particular, and with the ruling coming out late yesterday evening, we greatly appreciate you taking the time to hop on with us to talk about that, to kind of talk about this Alabama basketball team and what's coming up down the home stretch. So tell everybody here in Auburn how they can find you for any more Alabama information that they need.
Yeah, Bama247.com and on Twitter at Mike Rodak.
We appreciate it, my friend. We'll talk soon. Again, just everything going on with Alabama athletics, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
You got it. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Mike Rodak, Bama247. Again, Christian, he was on top of this whole situation. I mean, just go start scrolling through his X page, dude. I mean, every update possible,
oh, yeah.
Our man Mike had it going on. And
I mean, his account and his name was the one that was half the time used in some of these quotes to be described with ESPN, SportsCenter, all of those types of outlets used him and his coverage to determine all of this.
Yeah, so great stuff there from him, and just full insights and preview. If you're just now tuning in or you just caught the end of that conversation, you'll be able to go back and listen to it on the podcast version of the show. I highly recommend that you do. Mike does a good job. He stays neutral. He tells basically how it is and what happened in this situation. Gave us the Alabama fan perspective, of course, the Nate Oates perspective as well. Alabama's disappointed. Shocker, right? Bama fans, they're just kind of ready for it to be over. And the rest of college basketball, I think, was ready for it to be over, too.
I mean, yeah. 23-year-old Bediako averaged 10 points, 4.5 rebounds a game, and 1.5 blocks in his 5 games when Alabama went 3-2. So I would be, again, not a shot at Alabama. I'd be upset, too, if I lost a player that was giving me 10-5 a night.
Yeah. And I just, I don't know, man. And I know we didn't really have time to go into this with Mike in particular, but the quote from the NCAA saying that the tournament committee will not consider the 5 games that he played in. I just refuse to believe that.
Is there going to be an asterisk on they would be a 5 seed, but now they're a 6 seed?
Right.
How is that going to be determined?
Because let's remember, same way the College Football Playoff Committee does it, where do you think they got the idea to sit behind a closed door and not tell anybody what they're doing? They got it from the NCAA Tournament Committee, right? So are we going to have a camera in there? Are we going to have a non-biased representative in the room to say, hey, you can't talk it. Don't even talk about the Auburn game. Don't talk about the Texas A&M game or the Missouri game. Or don't talk about them. You can't. Those are off limits. No. Don't even look at it. Just take it off the schedule completely.
And then even more so on the flip side of things, like the question that Eric asked us earlier on the show, when they're sitting there talking about Auburn as an 8 seed, a 7 seed, a 9 seed, wherever the case is, are they going to look at the Alabama loss?
Yeah.
The one at home. Is that going to hurt them?
It shouldn't.
Or Tennessee? Is Florida going to get rewarded with a win over Alabama and Charles Bediako? I mean, there's so many things that are up in the air because of these 5 games.
It's bigger than Auburn, Alabama.
Yes, very much so.
There are several teams involved in this situation.
And that goes back to describing the entire situation of how it's so much bigger than Auburn and Alabama, because this affects the entire league. This affects the entire organization. And that's why the NCAA president said what he said, saying it's a win for common sense and a win for all of our member schools.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, again, we appreciate Mike Rodak of Bama247. Go check him out on Bama247.com on his X page as well. He covers Alabama better than anybody, harder than anybody. We appreciate him for taking the time. We'll come back, wrap up hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Again, thanks to Mike Rodak of Bama247. Just got off the phone with him. Basically recapping, and I guess, putting a bow on the whole Charles Bediako situation, at least that one in particular, right? We'll see when the next one shows up and who, what player it is, what school it is, and how they tried to find a loophole to the ruling of yesterday. But, no, Mike did, again, an incredible job of covering that event, and then he hopped on with us, and again, gracious for his time, and hopping on to basically recap the whole thing, talk the timeline, why the decision was made, how every party kind of reacted to it. So great stuff there from our friend Mike Rodak at Bama 247. But we got a couple of minutes, and reminder, coming up in hour number two, to start the second hour right at 3 o'clock, we hit baseball, and we hit it hard, man. College baseball begins this weekend across the country, including right here in Auburn, Alabama, where your Auburn Tigers will be hosting Youngstown State on Friday at 5:30, Saturday at 6, Sunday at 2, and the head man, the ball coach, will be joining us on the airwaves. Head coach Butch Thompson joins us coming up at 3 o'clock today here on the show to preview the entire 2026 season.
It's going to be a whole lot of fun. And for those that have been a part of the show, a fan of the show for long enough, you know that we have our baseball power hour, and we try to at least make it a baseball power half hour. And it's going to change a little bit now with, again, college basketball still taking action. And so it'll be interesting to see. I know we're going to plan on 3 o'clock every single Tuesday. So it might be a 2:30 to 3:30 baseball segment that we get for the next couple of weeks. But, yeah, we are very, very excited to not only have baseball season finally here in the college world, the MLB world, to shortly follow. We know we're going to get our guy Lindsey Crosby in the studio a couple of times, at least on the phone lines, at the very worst, to discuss what the Braves have and have not done.
Nah, he's coming in studio. Phone's not an option for him.
Fair.
He's got it. If it ain't in the studio with Lindsey Crosby, I don't want it.
But, I mean, that being said, again, I mean, if we're asking him Braves questions, he might as well just stay on the phone lines because there's three things they've done.
Yeah, this is the busiest the Braves have been in years. Is that man live right now on YouTube somewhere? Is he having a drink? Is he celebrating today? The Braves, I mean.
He said, I have content.
Literally.
It's Jonah Heim, baby.
Positive content, too, not just
I mean,
Braves
positive
missing
from
another
the
one. Braves didn't do this.
Positive
from the
standpoint.
Oh, there goes Bo Bichette. He's gone. See you later.
Positive of the standpoint that the Braves got a third catcher.
Hey, man, you're just prepared. Doomsday situation in Atlanta.
They're going to put him in right field when, like,
yeah, when Acuna dips out next year.
When Marcelo Zuna from the Pirates.
From the Pirates.
Comes over back to Truist Park.
I can't wait to ask Darryl Dapperge about that tomorrow. Osuna from the Pirates.
Yeah.
Doesn't have the same ring to it.
It doesn't.
No. But, yes, baseball coverage coming up in hour number two. First 30 minutes are baseball. Second 30 minutes are basketball, talking Auburn and Vandy. But stick around. We start hour number two with Auburn baseball head coach Butch Thompson.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is the Christian Griffin, and we appreciate you being with us here on ESPN 106.7 for the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Hour number two is underway. But man, you missed a good hour number one if you weren't tuned in. We talked some Auburn basketball, talked some bracketology, talked about what the Tigers need to do. Not getting a whole lot of love in the tournament conversation, so we talked about that a little bit. Plus, the Charles Bediako situation has been put to bed. A decision has been made. He is no longer eligible. He will no longer play for the Alabama Crimson Tide. We gave some of our initial thoughts, but figured nobody better than our man Mike Rodak of Bama 247, who covered that situation start to finish in every detail better than anybody. So he joined us on the phone lines in the first hour as well, gave us the timeline, gave us the information, and gave us some of his thoughts as well. So all of that was in hour number one. If you missed it, you can go back and listen to the podcast version of the show wherever you get your podcasts, or the easiest way to find it is on our station website at ESPNAU.com. And here in hour number two, we kick it off with Auburn baseball conversation. The Tigers start the season this Friday at Plainsman Park, hosting Youngstown State, and we begin weekly interviews with Auburn baseball members, assistant coaches, players, and today, head coach Butch Thompson. Back here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, as we continue to barrel our way through the month of February. Crazy enough, that means baseball season is here. We're so excited to talk all things Auburn baseball, not just today, but all season long here on ESPN 106.7 for a program that has more hype than I can remember in quite some time. And no better way to kick off the season, to start the season, than with the head coach of Auburn baseball, head coach Butch Thompson. Coach, it's great to have you here on ESPN 106.7, and I know you guys are just as excited as we are for the season.
And no doubt, it's time to play ball. War Eagle.
Well, there's so much to get to and so much, again, so much hype for this upcoming season and this upcoming team. But we do want to flash back just a hair and recap what a year ago meant to you. It meant to your program, not just the regional, hosting a super regional, the highs and the lows of all of that. What did last season do for you and Auburn baseball as a program for the successes that you had?
That's a great question. I think there are so many positive things. You know, we had 11 guys enter professional baseball, the most ever. Now we have 41 guys going to spring training. That's the most ever. That's a lot of players heading out to a job of playing professional baseball this spring. Seeing, you know, year over year, it was 3 years of just more people entering the ballpark than ever and getting over 200,000 people. The first super regional in history, was special, and it's our fourth super regional in the five of the program's history. So that made it pretty amazing. Had another first rounder in Ike Irish, another great recruiting class. So I think now this is our third, you know, top 10 recruiting class that we got last year to come in. And then, in all honesty, I think it's just good to always be realistic. I wanted another step. I thought the guys had worked hard enough last year. I've never enjoyed being on the field more than I have. Our fans have done that. And really, day to day, our players have done that for me. Last year, those guys were awesome. They made it a joy to be at the ballpark. And then, you know, I got to add our staff, too. The continuity of our coaching staff, like our associate head coaches, who, you know, Gabe Gross, Carl Nunnemaker, that'll probably get to visit with you guys and your listeners here going through the season. And just top to bottom, you know, the entire staff's been with us for a while. It just feels like we're well-rounded, buttoned up. And even though, you know, last year left a bitter taste, which it did, I feel like that's a positive, not a negative, that, you know, the Sweet 16 or being in the Final 16, wanting to get to the Final 8, and really trying to figure out now after 10 years, we've done enough, this thing's strong enough, we're more well-rounded enough to. How can we figure out the last piece of being the last team standing? So it's good to go as far as we did and still have a little disappointment. Hopefully we can use that as a positive going into this season.
Hey, Coach, Christian Griffin here with you as well. In the studio, appreciate you for taking the time, as well as your staff and your players, throughout all of the baseball season. And want to even take you back a year further, which was a little bit of an anomaly, a little bit uncharacteristic, that 8-22 conference schedule, then to be able to bounce back, turn it around in 1 year. What does that tell you about the players that you have in your system, their ability to buy in even after a year that maybe didn't go their way, and to be able to go as far as you mentioned, hosting a super regional for the very first time just 1 year later?
Yeah, I think those guys that you think of, they were rewarded last year. When I say 11 guys went into professional baseball, that's guys staying, you know, staying in the fight, staying committed, believing in Auburn, believing in our coaching staff, believing in our program, and they were rewarded for that. You know, a lot of that stuff's my fault. You know, the last 4 years, the reason why we've hosted three out of the last four regionals is trying to produce a top five schedule. You look at 26 and you see all the preseason hype, it means absolutely zero to us, because last year we weren't even in the preseason top 25 and we're a number four national seed. But we feel like to take the next step and to keep trying to build and grow and to be the last team standing, we're going to have to keep elevating our schedule. And, you know, there's a certain watermark when you do that. If you play a top five schedule like we have going in 4 years in a row, I mean, you're going to have to meet that watermark. And if you can't, you're in trouble. And we wasn't able to do that 2 years ago. We have been able to do that three of the last four, but can't apologize for trying to raise the bar and try to play the best schedule. I was looking at the D1 top 25 poll, and I see that I think we're ninth in that poll.
Yes, sir.
And is that what everybody sees? What I see is we play 10 other teams in that top 25 to the tune of 28 games.
Wow.
Plus, way over half of our schedule. Currently, today, as the season starts, we have 33 teams that were in the top 50 RPI last year. So you can't just, you know, say, hey, you're going to play a great schedule. Now, I do know there's an advantage to being in our league. In those 10 SEC weekends really helped drive some of that. But, you know, we'll play Cincinnati after this Youngstown State team comes in this weekend, and then we'll go to Arlington, and you'll get the likes of Florida State and Louisville, another top 10 team, and Kansas State. And then we'll come back home and play a series here versus Nebraska, which will be an awesome series. Georgia Tech's a top five team. We got them home and away. Everybody in the state of Alabama that we play got a chip on our shoulder to try to be at their best against the Auburn Tigers. And so, again, it's another tough schedule. And you'll say, what happened to Auburn? There's a watermark of playing a top five schedule in America. Mm-hmm. We have to meet that. Even though we believe in our team and all these positive features about a program we're talking about, this is not going to be easy. This is going to be extremely hard once again. But the rewards of playing one of these schedules can really benefit you and set you up for making a run.
Coach, one more question I have for you before we dive into the 2026 season. You mentioned the 11 players that made their way into professional baseball just from last year alone. When you go through the high school recruiting process or even the transfer portal, how much does adding those names boost your resume, boost your confidence, and boost your edge over possible other teams when you try to get some of these guys in from the high school level or from the transfer portal as well?
Yeah, great question. I mean, it's just competitive, but you know, having a guy like Ike Irish to stay for 3 years, here's what I'm selling to families right now in this new crazy world, is if Ike were to transfer one time, he would have never got a degree. But he had such a plan, the family's so strong, and our people do such a good job in academics. Not only does he walk out of here as a first rounder, Ike Irish walked out of here with leverage and an Auburn degree. To me, that's powerful.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these guys, they finish their pro career. Because if you leave here without a degree, you're only pursuing one career. He's leaving with the opportunity to pursue two careers, and that's just a lot of leverage in those tough days as he's climbing to be a major leaguer. I want people to see that. That's part of a really good question. But him being from Michigan, coming here, staying in the fight, having a tough year, being a freshman All-American, and then getting to come back and have a great year like last year, he's rewarded for that. And Ike Irish will have no confusion for the rest of his life when he brings his family back someday in 10, 15, 20 years. There's only one place he has to go, and that's back to Auburn. I love that example, and it just happened in our program. The other 10 guys did an amazing job as well. We had three freshmen All-American which was more than anybody in the country last year. I'm selling that because we still feel like we can get some of the best high school guys in the country. And if we can, we're bringing them, like a Mason McCrane this year from Glenwood Academy, like an Ethan Bingaman. When we see those two freshmen out there, we think we have some more examples this year. And that was because of some of the success last year. And then, you know, you don't even know who your portal guys are going to be till you get to June. But seeing guys come in, have success, make a difference, be getting to play in front of crowds like this. You know, during the Super Regional last year, you know, we had four guys here on an official visit that were in the portal, and they all, before the end of the night, you know, signed up to be Auburn Tigers just by seeing our people, our park, and our program.
Well, it doesn't get better than that. With Auburn baseball, the hype, the buzz, the energy that you feel around campus, around the stadium, and around this program. We've got head coach Butch Thompson of Auburn baseball with us here on ESPN 106.7. And, Coach, it's not a fair question to ask which one you're more excited for, the returning guys on this team or the newcomers on this team, because both categories are just so loaded. But I do want to focus on the transfer portal additions for just a second. Several guys in the infield, several guys in the pitching rotation as well. What was the strategy for you and your coaching staff in the transfer portal this cycle? Because you went and got some big, big names that have really boosted your roster for this season.
There's no doubt. We needed, it's just not rocket science for me. Ike Irish, Cooper McMurray, that's a pretty big blow. We were really fortunate with Samuel Dutton, that had SEC experience, that come in here, was a young man from Alabama. We had been a reliever. We put him in the starting rotation, and it worked. He wound up really holding down and really helping us, especially through the regular season, get us positioned to help us win 7 of those 10 SEC weekends. Made such a huge difference. So we needed left-handedness. Our biggest injury so far happened in the fall, and that was Eddie Madrigal from St. Mary's, a guy that hit 20 bombs and has a cousin playing in the big leagues and is a grad transfer and just an amazing, mature guy. Hopefully we'll get Eddie back in April. But Logan Gregorio was another one of those from Northern Illinois, a catcher, a left-handed hitter. Those are two strong left-handed at-bats and have really swung the bat really, really well for us, for sure. On the mound, Conference USA Pitcher of the Year, Drew Whalen, has a chance to be a huge factor for us. Our Friday night guy, Virginia Tech, Jake Marciano, had 17 starts last year. You can see the immediate impact by trying to replace Ike and McMurray. Can you? I don't know, but we're about to find out. To really go with, we got four stalwart guys that are back that you think are everyday players, and I think those four guys are the most offensive production coming back from the standpoint of those four guys had 40 RBI or more. Chase Frelick, Bub Terrell, Chris Rembert, and Lucas Steele. Those four guys are huge pieces, and that's almost half a lineup there. You add some of these portal pieces, we just went for what we really needed. The obvious of left-handed power hitting, and then – you know, one more angle, one more piece is Ryan Farber from Texas State, a switch hitting shortstop that can go with, if Lucas Steele, one of our captains, is in the lineup, you got a couple of switch hitters. Our league is so tough that you get a bunch of left-handed hitters. We might can have 7 left-handed hitters with 2 switches in a lineup. We hope creates a ton of offense, and we hope, at least from the standpoint of walking into this season, that our offense needs to be a strong, strong strength of this ball club. And hopefully now with Coach Tiefert year over year being here year 3, that from the first year, if you're talking about the tough year 2 years ago, some growth on the mound last year, hopefully this portal and some maturity of like a Andres Alvarez, a Christian Chatterton, a Jackson Sanders that got real time on the mound last year. Hopefully all that can come together for us to be even stronger on the mound, because the pitching gain for this team in 26 is going to say everything about how competitive we can be throughout the year and really how far we can go.
We've got Auburn baseball head coach Butch Thompson with us here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And I love that, Coach. The idea that you said the portal, it's not rocket science. You don't have to overthink it. You just go and get the things that you need. You fill the spots that are gone and get guys that fit your program. And I feel like in today's era, so many coaches get stressed and worried about getting the biggest and best names. You guys seem to just win and said, okay, we need this, this, and this. And that seems to be what you brought in this season.
Yeah, you know, our coaches are fighting, right? They're recruiters. I was a recruiter. I was an assistant for 23 years, and a huge part of that time was in the SEC, where I'm a pitching coach, recruiting coordinator. I just encourage all our guys, because they're fighting so hard and bringing us all these names, and then to sort through. I remember John Maxwell. He's a great leadership author over in Atlanta. In 2002, he set us down. I was at Georgia, and I remember Mark Richt was in the room, and every coach there at Georgia, and he said, don't you ever forget this if you're a recruiter. At the end of the day, you get who you are, not always who you want. And I've worked hard to believe in that for the guys that we don't get. I do believe Auburn's a school. We've always heard this, that like once you come on campus, once you come to this college town, you either get Auburn or you don't. So we have needs. We try to find players in those needs. We bring them in. In this new world where everything's so crazy and confusing, I just keep encouraging these coaches to pick the best players, the best character that they can. And at the end of the day, we're going to get who we are. Our brand's strong enough. We've been here long enough that people know our identity, and they're either attracted to it or they're attracted to somewhere else. And I'd rather get the right, best fit and then us go to work hard every day and develop every day. That's the best we can put together in this day and time.
And Coach, it's no question that this upcoming season you're stepping into yet again the best conference in college baseball, but you got to get to conference play first. You mentioned the series with Youngstown State here coming up this weekend, the midweeks with Cincinnati, Kansas State, Florida State, Louisville, and Arlington, which rumor has it there's been a little success for the Auburn program on that side of things. What is the biggest thing you're wanting to learn about your team before you get to conference play? And even more specific, what are you trying to get out of your guys this upcoming weekend? Is it as simple as strike one, win the evens, aggressive patience at the plate, or is there something else a little more strategic that goes into this weekend?
I think it's finding our synergy. I think we got 2 or 3 weeks here. I hope I'm not fired before conference starts, because I think we have 13, 14 position players that deserve the right. Coaches feel like we know what a lineup is, but we need these non-conference games to try to figure out what's our best synergy, what's our best lineup. I don't think all that's been discovered. I think it's been clearer in years past because we probably had less options, to be honest with you. And so I think it's a positive, but nonetheless, we have to look at more. We got to go from the coaches making the lineup out to the players making the lineup out. And I think that's going to take some games with more options. I hope it's a positive, and I hope it don't trip us up a couple of times. But if it makes a better team down the road with getting to play at least guaranteed 56 regular season games, so be it. Because we've had some guys, and we got some combinations that, you know, the squad game gives us a sense and feel. But going out to Arlington, playing some tough competition, we're going to be – having a lot of questions answered the next few weeks. And I'm hoping by the time we walk into conference that we've been competitive and we really know and have some conviction about what our best team is.
Auburn baseball gets started this weekend inside of Plainsman Park with Youngstown State coming to town as Auburn gets the thing started Friday night inside of Plainsman Park. And no better way to start the season than with head coach Butch Thompson, who has joined us here on ESPN 106.7. Coach, we greatly appreciate your time. Yes. We're really looking forward to talking with you again, your coaches, your players all throughout the year here on the radio. And we look forward to seeing you guys this weekend, and best of luck in 2026.
I can't wait to see a big fired up Plainsman Park. Thanks for all you guys do. War Eagle.
That is head baseball coach Butch Thompson of the Auburn Tigers joining us again here on ESPN 106.7. And Christian, you and I, man, we're fired up for this season, as are the fans. And you see it
not just in Auburn media, but across the country. I mean, Baseball America, D1 Baseball, yeah. All the big outlets, they can't keep Auburn off their websites. I mean, they just continue to hype up this program. And what we just heard from Coach Thompson in all facets of his team, man, they're expecting big things in that building.
It sounds like there's a lot of good problems to be had.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
At least so far through the offseason. Now, a lot of those can change as you work your way into the season. And as you heard him talk about, 13 or 14 guys that could be in the lineup that arguably deserve spots to be in the field and in the lineup. I mean, it's a good problem to have, but you got to hope. Again, he used the word synergy. That locker room is going to tell the entire tale when the 9 guys in the lineup are listed. You got to hope that this team still rallies with each other.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk
on the roster, rather.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk more about this as the show goes on. And again, very cool and very thankful to Auburn Baseball, George, not only the SID, who has set it up for us to have a weekly Auburn Baseball interview between Coach Thompson, his assistants, and players as well. We did it a year ago. Excited to bring that for you again every Tuesday here in the 3 o'clock hour. It's going to be a lot of Auburn Baseball over the next several months. So be sure you're tuned in every single week and every single day here on ESPN. ESPN 106.7. We'll take a break, come back, and talk more baseball right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, welcome back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7. Thanks again to head coach Butch Thompson of Auburn Baseball. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with him. I know we did, man. What an honor. What a blast it is to talk with Coach Thompson. Getting ready for the start of the season again. Saturday, Sunday is when the Tigers will be hosting Youngstown State inside of Plainsman Park. And, I'm just looking at this roster. We were doing so a little bit in prep for our conversation with him. And thanks again for his time and for George for getting that set up and everything. But this roster is loaded.
Oh, man.
I mean, just loaded with returning guys, transfer guys, freshmen coming in. And it's so crazy to look at what the potential batting order could be and what the lineup will look like. The amount of young guys that are on this team.
Yeah.
The guys that could be here for a couple years.
And how nice is it, too, though, that you know you're going to have a really solid team based off of the team that you had last year and so many of those guys returning. You mentioned the younger guys, the upperclassmen that now either are sophomores or juniors or now seniors. You bring that in with the Band-Aids of the transfer portal and another really big recruiting class, which Coach Butch Thompson talked about. I mean, it's going to be really, really exciting. Again, you're just a couple of days away from the start of the season, and you're going to have to play really, really well because, my goodness, I mean, the SEC is the best conference in college baseball. Looking at it right now, according to ESPN in the preseason top 25, which you take it with a grain of salt, as Butch Thompson mentioned, of last year, Auburn wasn't in the preseason top 25, but 5 of the top 10 and 11 of the top 25 teams preseason are from the SEC.
Golly, man. Well, he talked about it, you know, it's a benefit to play in the SEC, but it can also be miserable playing in the SEC too with how difficult each series is. And I think some of those teams from last year that maybe weren't all that good are going to make a turnaround this year. And Auburn, I don't think there's any off weeks in the SEC for baseball. So looking forward to that. We'll talk more as the week goes on. Again, thanks to Butch Thompson for taking the time to talk with us here on the radio. We'll take a break. We'll come back, flip back to basketball as Auburn and Vanderbilt play a game tonight. I know it's crazy, but it's true. We talk about that next.
We're halfway through hour number 2. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us. And phone lines are now open once again if you'd like to be a part of today's show. We'd love to hear from you at 334-784. 334-321-1390. There we go. That's the call-in number, 334-321-1390. You can also shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067 because we're talking Auburn and Vanderbilt. And it's weird because, yes, these two teams play tonight. Yes, we will both be there covering this game tonight, but it's like, man, this game just like appeared. It just seems like this game just showed up on Auburn's schedule. And I think because there was so much that went into the game on Saturday, there was so much excitement and the disappointment, and it's just kind of been like, where do we go from here, right? That this game, and it is a quick turnaround, don't get me wrong. You played on Saturday, you're now playing on Tuesday, not as quick as some teams, like in the Big 12 and the Big 10, who play on Saturday and then Monday. Yeah. I don't like that. But still a quick turnaround, and one that Auburn better be ready for, Christian, because this Vanderbilt team can put up points in a hurry. They've beaten good teams this year, and they have that on their minds tonight when they walk into Neville Arena.
I mean, yeah, you think the bye week, or having no midweek game, plays a little bit of a factor in this as well, just because you had a little bit more time to prepare for Alabama, at least mentally. And so, so much went into that. It's kind of almost like what we talked about with football, of you get a nice win and everybody's ready. It's what we talked about with Georgia and Missouri, right? If you beat Georgia, everybody's going to be excited. You get back-to-back night games in Jordan-Hare. You know you feel like there's not going to be that 1-1 stretch. You're going to go 2-0 or 0-2. You hope that the tides can turn on this side of things, I guess, no pun intended on that side of things. But, you wouldn't really know it until you woke up this morning realizing that a top 20 team in Vanderbilt comes to Neville Arena, where Auburn is a 3.5-point favorite as it sits right now. But there's going to be a lot of questions answered, or there's going to be a lot more question marks that need to be answered, or maybe you get the answers by the lack of answers.
That's what I was going to say, is I think tonight you get questions answered regardless, good or bad.
Because when you look at this Vanderbilt team, who is it that leads the way? It's Tyler Tanner and Duke Miles, both point guards for Vanderbilt. What was the issue? Defensive, especially guard play, and winning one-on-one matchups on the other side of the floor. Tyler Tanner averages 18.5 a game. Duke Miles averages 16.5 a game. That is 35 points for the Vanderbilt team put up just about every single night. They also average over 9 assists, 5 steals, and they do not really turn the basketball over, do the point guards. And so a very tall task for Auburn defensively. You'd like to think that there's a little bit of advantage offensively, but if you saw the second half defense for Auburn, Vanderbilt's going to have their way. But if you saw the defense that Auburn had in the 4-game win streak, Auburn could have a little bit of success.
Yeah, and for whatever reason, it just feels like this game kind of snuck up on Auburn fans here. And maybe, look, I'll say it, I think Auburn fans since Saturday have been more obsessed and more entertained by the Petiako stuff, by the result of that happening yesterday. And then, like you said, waking up today and it's like, oh, it's Tuesday. Oh, crap. It's game day.
Yeah.
And this isn't just a middle-of-the-pack Vanderbilt team from the SEC coming in here. This isn't even a good Vanderbilt team coming in. This is a top 20 team in America walking into your home floor. And according to the net, they're the 15th best team in the country. You know what that means? This is a quad one game tonight for Auburn. It's a top 30 team on your home floor, according to the net. Vanderbilt's 15th. This is a quad one opportunity for Stephen Pearl and the Auburn Tigers tonight.
Where Auburn sits at 4-8 right now in quad one games.
Which is not terrible. I know it sounds bad, okay? The fact that Auburn has played 12 quad one games is pretty impressive. It's up there for some of the most in the country, especially with top 30 teams in college basketball. Duke has 12. I'm looking through here. Kansas has 12, thanks to their game last night.
Not wins, just games played, right?
Yeah, just games played. Alabama has played 12. They're 6-6. You've got Kentucky has 11. So Auburn is up there for some of the most in the country of games played. And funny enough, that's what the tournament committee likes.
Yeah.
They don't particularly care whether you win those games or not. They just care that you play them. But for my sake and your sake, and I've voiced this several times, I need Auburn and want Auburn to win games like this.
I mean, 4-8 is not great in quad one games. And yes, they look at the amount of games played. That being said, you can't tell me if things go completely downhill and Auburn finishes 5-11 or 5-12 in quad one games, that's all of a sudden not going to be a reward that you kind of feel like it can uplift or boost your resume. I mean, you've had plenty of those chances, which we've mentioned. Again, the Houston game was a very winnable game. Say that's one of them. Georgia is listed as a quad one game right now because, again, it was on the road, and Georgia is the 35th-ranked team.
Yeah.
In the net, the Missouri game, the Tennessee game, and the Alabama game, all of the ones also in conference play. Right now, you're 2-1 in quad two games because Texas A&M has dropped to a quad two game. Doesn't seem fair at all. But when you look at bracketology, and A&M is projected to be a 9 seed just because of the gauntlet that they have upcoming. I mean, it's wild to think. But yeah, you're 2-1 wins over Ole Miss and Texas, and your one loss to A&M. You're 8-0 in quad 3-4, which we have determined and said multiple times, you can't really afford a loss in quad 3-4, especially if you don't have that quad one ranking system in your favor. But another big time opportunity tonight. So you have back to back quad one games. Vanderbilt, Arkansas, actually, 4 of your next 5 are quad one games. Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Mississippi State on the road is listed as a very bottom tier 2 or quad 2 game.
Top 75 team in the net on the road, by the way. That's what qualifies that.
That would be quad one.
Oh, I thought you said quad. I thought you did say quad one.
No, Mississippi State is a very bottom quad two.
Oh, my bad. I misheard you. Sorry.
Vanderbilt and Arkansas are quad ones easily. That wouldn't matter if that was home or away.
Mississippi State being quad one sounded weird.
Yeah, no, Mississippi State's the 98th team.
Okay.
So they are, I guess, on the road, middle of the pack for quad two. Mm-hmm. But then you have Kentucky and away at Oklahoma. And Oklahoma is 74th. Right now. And so right now, that's a quad one game, and what a big win that could be before you have quad three, quad two, and quad one to finish up the year.
Well, that Oklahoma team needs to be respected. Do you know why? Because they just beat Vanderbilt over the weekend. This Vanderbilt team is one of runs in terms of what their season has looked like. We know that they were one of the hottest teams coming into conference play. They were undefeated in non-con. Nothing crazy there, though, okay? Nothing crazy by any means. They did beat that UCF team in game two of the season. VCU, SMU, Memphis, Wake Forest, okay? They then started SEC play 3-0 with wins over South Carolina, Alabama, and LSU. So 3 games in a row that they won to start SEC play. They then lost 3 games in a row to Texas, Florida, and Arkansas. What'd they do after that? Oh, they won 3 games in a row with Mississippi State, Kentucky, and Ole Miss. And then as double-digit favorites, big-time favorites, they let Oklahoma, a one-win SEC team, come to their house in Nashville and beat them 92-91.
I believe it were 16.5 or 18.5 point favorites.
It was big.
In that contest.
It was big.
And we made jokes about halfway comically of today would be the day that Oklahoma walks in there and beats Vanderbilt. And all of a sudden we looked at it with a minute left in Neville Arena of, holy cow, this is a 20-point game at halftime.
Yeah.
And then it continued that way. Vanderbilt, as you mentioned, not only in their seasons with wins and losses, but even on the 40 minutes played on the floor, very, very streaky, a team that loves to go on runs. We gave up on the game and turned it back on 20 or 30 minutes later, and it was, oh gosh, okay, Vanderbilt's down 8.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, there's 2 minutes left. Vanderbilt's down 6. Holy cow, it's a one-point game.
Mm-hmm.
But Vanderbilt turns it over a couple of times in the final seconds, trying to just inbound the basketball. And Oklahoma, yeah, 92-91, although Vanderbilt put up 57 points in that second half.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. And I know you mentioned it earlier, Tyler Tanner is a guy that Auburn has to find tonight for this Vanderbilt team. I have not been able to find a update on Duke Miles for Vanderbilt, because he has not played since January 24th, right? And I'm looking at Vanderbilt to where he spoke about their injury situation. This is from a couple of days ago. I tried to find something before the show, and I couldn't find anything. But Frankie Collins has not played in quite some time. Duke Miles has missed four games, I believe, with a knee injury. So I don't know what their status is in terms of going into this game tonight, but I don't know. Let's see.
He said it's hard to give a timetable, but he's doing great. He started jogging and he's motivated. I think it bothers him as much as anybody that he can't be out there tonight. He'll be back as soon as he possibly can. This was going into the Oklahoma game. Said he played on a bad knee for as long as he could, but he got it fixed and he'll be back as soon as he can. And so
he's a difference maker for them, man. He's one of the best point guards in America when he plays.
Yeah. I mean, averages 16.5, 4.5 assists a game, and also 3 steals per game. He's one of the best on-ball defenders in college basketball.
So Auburn will have to see. He may or may not be a game-time decision. If he didn't play against Oklahoma at all, he's probably not going to play tonight. Again, that's Duke Miles for Vanderbilt.
Did they release the overall – they usually do the night before, right, the overall injury report?
Yeah, basketball is a little bit different than football, but they should have released it last night.
There should be one last night, and there should be one earlier this afternoon as well.
Yeah, see if you can find one as we're, again, kind of looking through what this Vanderbilt team does. They rebound the ball fine. They pass the ball extremely well, and they don't turn it over, as you mentioned, as well. They shoot it at about 49% as a team. Three-point percentage isn't great, okay? 36% as a team. But that's guys like Duke Miles, Tyler Tanner, who shoots the ball well, and others as well. So Auburn will have to avoid falling into the trap tonight of what Vanderbilt wants to do. Auburn needs to find a way to control this game and not let Vanderbilt play its style, which can be several different ones. Vanderbilt, according to KenPom, the 14th best team in the country. Their offensive rating is 15th. They're the 15th best team in the country offensively, according to KenPom, and they're just as good defensively. 19th. A top 20 team on both ends of the floor. Their adjusted tempo, 39. They get out and run. They like
to get up and down the floor.
They want to move, and Auburn does not. We think they do. On paper, you would think so, but how many times have we talked about this Auburn team? They're just not that team. They don't thrive in that type of environment, okay? Auburn is 173rd in adjusted tempo.
Which, again, man, it doesn't make sense. It makes sense based – I'm sure it's not the way that Steven wants to run this offense. Because he actually talked about it in the preseason of a team that he wants to get out and run. But, man, you don't have the guys to be able to do that. You don't have the Bruce Pearl ability of, hey, go out on the floor, give me 3 or 4 minutes at 100%. And then we'll get you another 2 or 3 minute break.
Not with a 7-man rotation.
Not with 7-man, because
no, you can't. It's impossible.
You see Tahad Pettiford get 30-second breathers when Blake is in until the media timeouts. I mean, that is the biggest break, and then it's when Phillip goes to take Keyshawn Murphy's spot for 2 or 3 minutes, and you'd expect Phillip to get some more minutes tonight just based off of how Steven talked about him after the Alabama game. I don't know if you saw this as we had to break, but there were conversations that Steven Pearl said of Simon Walker getting spots at the two guard because of how well Kevin Overton's played as that backup point guard spot.
I missed that, but that is interesting. And I think that tells me Auburn's getting to desperation mode. Not in a bad way. I'm not saying that in a degrading way. I'm saying it in a factual way.
Yeah.
Auburn does not have a backup point guard. They just don't. And Kevin could be that guy. And that would make sense to get Simon is a two guard. Like, he's a shooter. He's a spot-up shooter. He's a move without the basketball, get an off-ball screen, come off that down screen, and hit a shot in the corner. Yeah. That is Simon Walker. That's the game he plays. That's why he was one of the best shooters in his recruiting class.
Especially if you are not shooting it well, having somebody like that on the floor spaces everything out.
No doubt. And a guy that doesn't need 5 or 6 shots to get going, he can hit his first one and just turn it on.
Yeah.
Interesting. I hadn't seen that.
Yeah, it'll be really – again, this was a day ago, Nathan King, Hokanson, all of those guys reported it, saying that, yeah, Simon Walker's potential at the two guard, especially if KO continues to log some minutes at the one, just to try and give Tejada a breather every now and then.
Well, you may need it tonight with a team in Vanderbilt that will get up and down the floor. Auburn fans, do not be fooled by the logo of Vanderbilt. This is one of the best teams Auburn has played all season long. And they're going to have to play their best game tonight. Can they be challenged defensively? They were Saturday, in-game and post-game. And I assume Stephen Pearl has been on them since then. We'll talk about it and make our final picks and predictions and wrap up the show right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, talking Auburn and Vanderbilt, and got sent an update from SECSports.com, the official availability report for tonight. We were trying to find it to look and get confirmation for Vanderbilt in particular, and two big ones, Frankie Collins and Duke Miles, are both out tonight for Vanderbilt, and so that confirms what we were talking about. So that takes a lot of the stress off of this game this evening for Auburn, but Vanderbilt's still a very good basketball team.
On paper, at least, it takes away a little bit of the stress. But
yeah,
guys like Tyler Nickel, who are some of the best three-point shooting players in the country. I mean, it's a team that gets up and down the floor, wants to score in transition, wants to kick it out for the open corner threes, get offensive rebounds. Auburn's going to have to play really well offensively, more so from the standpoint, and how weird is it this way you think about it, but Auburn needs to play fantastic offensively to not allow Vanderbilt to get out into transition, right? You see so much about that of you have to play great defensively, and yes, there still needs to be a focus on it, but man, you got to find a way to shoot really well on the offensive end of the floor, just because, man, that forces Vanderbilt to take the ball out of the nets. That forces them to run the full length of the floor, and it allows Auburn to set up a little bit of pressure if they so choose, or at the very least, to get back in a half-court set.
Yeah, so Auburn and Vanderbilt tonight, 6 o'clock start inside of Neville Arena. The early tips are seem to be better for people who try to get to the games. You're not there as late.
Yeah, one of the last ones.
Yeah, but it seems like it's always tough for some people to get there trying to get off work and things like that. So I do hope it's a good atmosphere tonight. I know Auburn coming off with a loss against Alabama, but tonight's an opportunity to pick one back up. And again, I'm looking strictly defensively tonight for this Auburn team. Yes, because that's how you beat Vanderbilt, but that's also what Stephen Pearl is and has been preaching for the last 48, 72 hours. So we will see. Okay. Games at 6. Broadcast begins at 5:45. No, 5:30. Sorry, yeah. 5:30 over on Wings 94.3 here locally in Auburn, Opelika. So a busy week with all sorts of athletic stuff going on. But tonight, Wings 94.3, pregame at 5:30 with Andy Burch and Randall Dickey. They'll have the call, and tip-off is set for 6.
And an exciting reminder, again, this is the earliest tip that you have for the remainder of the year.
Dude, some of these games are about to be brutal.
You have 6 o'clock tonight. You have 7:30 against Arkansas. You have 8 o'clock at Mississippi State in the midweek. You then have 7:30 back inside Neville Arena on Saturday, February 21st, which should be a fun game against Kentucky. You then have on the road at Oklahoma at 8 o'clock. You then are back home for Ole Miss at 7:30 before you host LSU at 9 o'clock on SEC Network. And then you go to Alabama on Saturday, March 7th at 7:30. So enjoy the last one while you can.
Enjoy the last early tip, folks.
And if you're not making it, enjoy being able to watch all 40 minutes, because that won't happen for any later starts.
Yeah, Auburn is the first game. Is this on SEC Network?
It is.
So, yeah, Auburn should actually start on time, which will be nice.
Yeah.
Dude, that LSU game is going to be brutal.
9
Tuesday
o'clock.
Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Central Time? What are we doing, man? That's horrible. We'll worry about that when we get there. It's Auburn and Vanderbilt tonight. We're on our way to the arena right now. Maybe we'll see you there. Maybe we won't. I don't know. But we will We won't see you here tomorrow. You'll hear us here tomorrow, though. 2-4 right here on ESPN 106.7. Again, thanks to Mike Rodak of Bama 247. Thanks to Butch Thompson, the head coach of Auburn Baseball, and to you for being a part of today's program. We're back tomorrow, 2-4 right here on ESPN 106.7. So until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.